So I was in sixth grade. Hard to remember back that far, but I remember specifically this moment. I couldn't see anything. I was sitting in the classroom, and I would go to the board about 47 times a day. Go up to the pencil sharpener so I could see what was written on the board. Because my eyes had gotten to the point where I just wasn't really seeing too good. And it had gradually gotten that way, of course, over time. And I hadn't realized really how bad it had gotten. But for some reason, I was adamantly opposed to getting glasses. Because I saw the way other people looked in glasses. They looked like dweebs and dorks, you know? Somebody should have told me, dude, you already are one. But I didn't. Nobody opened up to me about that. And I remember we used to have this, and we were in a rural town in North Carolina. And I remember that eye clinic bus would come. Once a year, it would come to our school, and all the students were able to get checked out for free for their eyes. We were in a very poor community, and it would come in, and I would always, at least I know this time, I was just so adamantly opposed to getting glasses, and I don't know why. And I remember that I would get sort of toward the back of the line, and even these days, Tim and I have some interesting perspectives on eyeglass charts, right, Tim? We went from our days in Peru, and you know, you have the chart up there, and I'm always nervous that I'm going to mess up. How about you? I remember, like, to drive a bus, you have to have a CDL, which you have to get a medical card. And part of the medical card is you have to pass an eye exam. And they have the chart down at the end, and I'm always so afraid that I'm going to mess up. And they're going to, sorry, your license is revoked, you know, because I'm just afraid I'm going to mess up. B, C, you know, and then how about the next line down? And you're like, oh, no. So in those days, I guess I was pretty smart. And so I would memorize the eye chart. I would get the end of the line, and I would memorize the eye chart. And so they would come up there, and I'd be like, B, C, R, King, next line, you know. I wasn't actually seeing it, you know. I was just remembering it. And then, and I got away with it for a while. Until they realized, there's something not right here. And they switched the eye chart on me. And they're like, no. Either you can't see or you are dumb. One or the other. And so, because, you know, it's an alphabet up there, you know, and you're just messing it up. But I remember they said, you need glasses. And I was just like, no, please, no, you know. And in those days, in the 80s, you know, the glasses were about this big, you know. And you were not cool. They didn't have any cool glasses. And my eyes, even to this day, and I'll show you my glasses here in a second, but they're like Coke bottles. It's like putting two Coke bottles in the end of your, you know, they're about that thick. And some of you may be in that same boat as me. Now they, you know, wear contacts all the time. But I remember the moment when my glasses came in and I put them on for the first time and I could see. I could see. Have you had that same experience? Do you remember that moment when you can, like, actually see stuff and you're like, there's a world out there, you know? It's an amazing experience. And I'm thinking all along, thinking, why didn't I do this sooner? What was holding me back from opening my eyes to the world, from seeing what's really there, and from just humbling myself, my pride, I don't know what it was, and putting on the stupid glasses so that I can see something. And I remember the clarity of it. I remember being able to see clearly for the first time in I don't know how long. I guess, you know, a while. You don't know how long it's been since you've seen that way until you put them on, and then you're like, wow, This is amazing. You know, I was, it's one of those things where this sermon is either going to be about 10 minutes or it's going to be about an hour and a half. Okay, my kids are all voting for the 10 minutes. But life is really pretty simple. We try to make things so complicated. And really, life is all about seeing things in the right perspective. Figuring out the way to look at life in its proper perspective, right? I mean, is that true? There have been other moments in life to where and we could go around the room, we could talk about ways that I've seen things wrong and that all of a sudden I see them right. And I'm like, what have I been doing this whole time? Why have I been thinking like this the whole time? Why have I gone so long with such a bad look at life? There are life-changing, life perspective-changing moments in our life to where we just, you know, it's like the aha moments. And I was thinking about, actually, I was looking at a couple of stories in the Old Testament that I was going to talk about today, and I kept looking and I'm like, they're all that. Every story in the Old Testament, every character in the Old Testament is all about learning to see life in the proper perspective. One of the ones I was gonna look at today was gonna be Naaman, and like I say, then I started going down and I'm like, I can't choose one, because the Old Testament, the Bible, is all about helping us see life in proper perspective, seeing things in the right way, so that then I can live life in the proper way. We could go around and we could talk about specific instances, specific times, specific things in our lives to where, you know, I was just off. I was off. And then somebody, something, helped to wake me up and get the proper perspective on life. I'm going to talk about just a couple of things today. I want to tell this story. I'm going to tell this story on Tim, but because I can. We joke about this story a lot because he told me this story one time that he was sitting at a traffic light. We actually talked about this last Sunday, sitting at a traffic light, and the light turned and nobody went. And Tim's in the back. He's in a hurry somewhere, you know. Tim and his patience that he has, you know, and he's just so quiet and unassuming. He's sitting there thinking, why aren't they going? And he's starting to say it out loud. And Tim, he drives a Jeep, and so his Jeep is open and whatever. And so he's saying it out loud, like, what is going on here? The light is green. Go. And then the guy next to him in his car turns over to him and says, it's a funeral procession. And Tim goes. You can just see him doing that. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, I'm so angry and so frustrated and upset. And then you realize, oops, it was me that had it wrong. And we've gone through so many times like that in my life. And once you realize it, you feel embarrassed. And maybe you feel dumb. I don't know what the word is that you feel. Here's the thing about glasses, though. You have to be willing to put them on. How many of you, I know I speak for one guy over here, who loses his glasses like every 5 minutes. You have to be willing to humble yourself and actually put the glasses on. But you have to also realize that you have a need for them. Like, it doesn't do you any good to have a pair of glasses and to stick them on your shirt and to never wear them. Right? How many of you have done that? And you, I've got glasses, but I can't see. And this, the Word of God points us, it's these glasses that points us to the way that life really is. But I have to be willing to humble myself and to actually put them on. And then use them in looking at the world. Use them in looking at myself in a very honest and open way. And to use them in looking at God and who He is and what He's trying to do for me in my life. It does not do me any good to leave them sitting on the bathroom counter in the morning. I'm going to have a wreck. I'm going to not be able to read my Bible, which I'm getting to that point anyway with glasses. I'm going to have to get some readers or something. I don't know. But something is, and I'm going to refuse that too, you know, like we always do. So I want to talk just a minute about what life is about. Some things that the Bible tells us. And again, I was going to go very specifically, and then I thought, you know, it's going to be way too long. Maybe we'll hit it later on. But here's just some very simple facts, some very simple things that can help us to refocus, help us to get in the right perspective. The first thing is this. The Bible teaches us through the Old Testament and the New Testament, teaches us that God created us to be dependent on Him. God created us to be dependent on Him. That no matter what it is, God wants us to depend on Him. We want to depend on ourselves. We think we can do it all ourselves. I was thinking about the story of Naaman, and I was thinking about the fact that he heard that, you know, he found out that he had this disease. And here's Naaman, and he thinks he can handle it himself, right? Well, I'm going to take my riches, and I'm going to take my fame, and I'm going to take my fortune and my power, and I'm going to go and I'm going to say, I need healing. And you're going to do it my way. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is that we are made to be dependent on God. You look from the very beginning to the very end of the Bible, and that's what you're going to find. Secondly, God allows circumstances to help us see Him. We talked about that in our class this morning. We talked about the fact that, that God allows things to happen. Not necessarily that He always causes them to happen, but He allows them to happen. Tragedy and hurt and heartache, financial problems, blah, blah, blah. You go all the way down the list that God allows these circumstances in our life. And here's what we're supposed to come away from it with. I can't do this by myself. I can't handle this. I can't go through this without help. God created us to be dependent on Him, and then He allows circumstances to happen that are supposed to give me the perspective to see that play out in life. We've all been there. I can't handle this. But a lot of times when we say we can't handle it, it's after we've already tried. Right? We've gone through it and we're like, well, I can deal with this. We'll pray a lot and hope that God, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we can really handle this ourselves. But God puts circumstances, why do you think that God allowed this man, Naaman, to get leprosy? It was a circumstance in his life that was going to bring him to his knees. To help him to see the fact that he could not do it on his own. Third thing, God places people in our lives to help us see Him. You look at the stories of the Old Testament and you continually see positive and negative people who God placed and allowed in people's lives to help them see things the way they really are. The story of Naaman, it was the little girl, the servant girl. And it was Elisha himself. And it was Elisha's servant. And it was all these people that seem very insignificant. But they're placed in his life. And the little girl, and how many times have people said this and done this for you? The servant, they're like, well, he told you to give him $1 million. He'd have done it. He's just telling you to go to the river and wash. Dude, wake up. See things in the right way. Change your perspective. Put on your glasses, will you? And look at things in the right perspective. And the last one is this. That God has put Christ in our lives to take care of our faults. You know, those four things are the story of the Bible. They're the story of God's dealings with man. I know it can be a lot more complicated. There's a lot of more complicated stories and concepts in the Bible. But if we can get down those, we're going to be doing pretty good. Take the glasses out of your pocket and put them on your eyes. And let's look at things in the right perspective. Look at things in the right way. You know, I don't think there's a person in the Bible that's ever lived that realized or learned this lesson more than the Apostle Paul. His writings over and over and over and over again are all about his change in perspective. Right? You think about his story, and his story is one that's just, it's an amazing story. You know, and he literally was blinded and then was able to see, and all those cool, the cool parts of that story. But he goes over and over again. He's like, I thought I had it all together. I thought that I was on track to be like the head Pharisee, and I was on track to do this, and I was on track, and everybody was looking at me like, ooh, it's Paul, wow, or Saul. And then God put me on my knees. And my perspective totally changed. And when it did, there was no going back. And I was looking at this passage in Ephesians chapter 2. And I just want to read just this brief passage from this spot. I was telling, Kyle and I were talking this morning in before class or during class or after class or sometime. And I'm saying one of the parts, and maybe some of you guys do this too, who get up here and speak from time to time. One of the parts about speaking to a group of people, especially in this type of setting, is that I always put a lot of pressure on myself. Like, I want to say the right thing. I want to make, you know, I want 52 people coming down for baptisms this morning. You know, all I want to do this morning is do this. I want to give you a kernel of something to think about. Something that you can study and you can think about on your own, and that maybe it will help in giving us a little bit better idea of the perspective that we're supposed to have. And it's always better to let the Bible speak for itself. So, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We all too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And by nature, we were children under wrath, as the others were also." So I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, because you've been there and I've been there. I was not a good person. I did not think right. I did not have the right perspective on life, and I lived for myself. And then verse 4, he says, "But God, who is abundant in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace, you were saved. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." See the change in perspective. Here I am, I'm living for myself. I'm seeing myself in the wrong way. I'm seeing God in the wrong way. And I'm living my life just going about my life the way that everyone else is. And then he says, then all of a sudden, I realize God sent Jesus for me. I realize that God's grace is available to me. And it changes not only the way I see things, but it changes the way that I do things. And Paul, later on, he condemns and he talks about people who see things in the right way and then all of a sudden they go backwards. So there's not a whole lot I can do for you people. Once you see things in the right way and then you go backwards, what in the world can anybody do about that? I've seen that I can see with my glasses on. You know what? But I'd rather be blind. That don't make no sense. It also is bad grammar, but it doesn't make any sense. Paul says, once I put on the eyeglasses of Christ Jesus in my life, there's no going back. His grace has saved me and will continue to work in my life. And then the last verse I want to look at is this. The very last verse of that is just verse 10. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. What difference does perspective make if you don't do anything about it? We all understand and we think, we know, and we talk about and we study about the grace of God in our lives, but what difference does it make if I refuse to make a change in the way that I see things and the way that I do things? And I think that's the practical nature, the practical part. I mean, you think about, I know we didn't really cover the story of Naaman. It's a very popular story. Probably everybody knows the basis of it. What does it matter if Naaman believed that he could be saved by going into the water unless he actually went in the water? And that's what they were trying to get him to see. What's the point? You have to see, and then you have to change and do something different. Live your life according to the proper perspective. How's your eyesight this morning? Mine's actually not too good. I think I have a headache from reading the Bible because it's too, the letters are too small. And you get one of those, like my grandmother had, the letters were about that big. God wants us to know. He wants us to know that He has created us to be dependent on Him. And He's going to place circumstances or allow circumstances to happen in our lives that are going to help to wake me up to the proper perspective of what life is about. He's going to put people in your life that are going to help to remind you of what life is about. That's what we are to one another. But most of all, we have to remember that He has put Christ in our life, who has brought grace, mercy, and love into our life to help us to live out this proper perspective of ourselves and of God. I hope that something I said today will make some kind of sense. And I hope that's it'll spur you on maybe to think a little bit more about this idea of perspective. If you didn't get anything out of it, at least remember the story about Tim and his funeral procession. Hopefully we'll remember that. But I hope this morning that as we think about this, that you will have such an appreciation for God and what He's done for you and what He's done for me in our lives through His grace. And it's not something I'm out there working for. It's not something that I can possibly earn. It's something that He's given me for free. And He wants me to take advantage, full advantage of His grace and live in Him. If you have a need this morning, whether it's to become a Christian or whether it is to ask for specific prayers, specific things that you're going through, we would love to offer a prayer on your behalf this morning as Chris brings our as he sings our song this morning. Let's all stand.